Well, it's a truth out of the book of Ruth. I've been studying in the book of Romans for some time, and Romans is my favorite Pauline epistle, maybe my favorite book in the Bible, but it's certainly my favorite Pauline epistle. I've studied through and preached through the book of Romans a few times in my years of being a pastor, and as I've gone back through it, again, this time, it's been a challenge to see things a little deeper, and sometimes I have a hard time of taking things that God gives me and breaking it down and giving it to you. I struggle with that a little bit. I ask God to help me. I want to make sure that it's not just words to you. I want you to understand what God is saying to me or through me to you from His Word. And so I really ask God to help me with that. And I don't do the best at it sometimes, and I realize that. When I was looking through the book of Romans chapter 8, that verse that everyone's familiar with in verse number 28, some people get it all mixed up. You know, they either misquote it or they misunderstand what God is teaching there. And I thought, well, you know what? Really, the book of Ruth is Romans 8:28. It just is. When you look at what happened, and I'm going to give you some examples here. And I thought about my life, and I thought about your life. I thought about Christians, how that God always has our best interest in mind. And the devil, as I mentioned to you this morning, he'll try to make you doubt that. He'll try to make you think that God has your best interest in mind and that God is looking out after you. And God is working. Even when you can't see what God is doing, God is still at work. And I thought about this. I thought about, you know, when you look at the book of Ruth, there's so many highs and lows. It just seems like every time that things kind of start to turn around for Naomi and Ruth, then all of a sudden something happens, and you think, well, it's not going to happen for them. And then God steps in, and He does something. And then it'll go along a little bit, and you'll think, okay, now this is going to work out this way, and then all of a sudden something else happens. And I thought, that's just like what happens in my life. And if you just think about it, it's what happens in your life. And so I want you to see a few things that happens here, how that God, brethren, I am more convinced than I've ever been, God is involved in every area of my life. Every area. Not just the big things, as we coin them. God's involved in every area of my life. God truly wants me to realize that. He wants me to realize that it's everything. It's not just the big deals, you know. It's every area of my life God is at work in. And so I want you to see that in the book of Ruth. And I'm going to give you, as I said, I'll give you one. We'll look at one chapter. It's in every chapter. The reason I asked Pastor David to read, remember, it's been a while since he read it. But remember in chapter 4, I'm going to get you to look at it again before we go back to chapter 1. And we'll see how far God will allow me to get. In verse number 13, now you have to remember who this is. If you don't know about the book of Ruth, and you just read chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, you'll say, okay, so what? I mean, hey, here's a woman, okay, who fell upon hard times in chapter 1. We're going to see it here in just a moment. Her and her family fell upon hard times, and so they moved away. And I'm not, I feel, from my knowledge of the scripture, that was a bad move. Okay, I just feel like that was not a good move. I feel that was a bad move. I've made some bad moves in my life. You probably made some bad decisions in your life. Matter of fact, you have. If you're of any age, you've made some poor decisions. And I'm glad God doesn't give up on us when we make some poor decisions. Amen. If God gave up on us when we made poor decisions, better that none of us be here tonight. Right. None of us. Our lives would be a total wreck. But see, God keeps working with us, even when we don't make wise decisions. And young people, you realize, I want you to understand this. In the days of your youth, you're going to make some really poor decisions. And the devil's going to tell you, God is through with you. You're a mess. You're a wreck. You can never do this. I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie. God will help you through those times. Now, there will be consequences for decisions, and I want to make that very clear. I try to be a balanced person. There's always consequences for decisions. But God will help you. And God will help bring back your life and your situation to where he can bless you again. When we read chapter 4 in verse 13 through 16, we find where this lady who had been through so much, lost so much, that she is being blessed here, and God is working in her life, even to the place in verse number 15, it says that he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, and thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee. And I want you, that's the kind of the little phrase that I want to get to. Thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee. I mean, we're talking about a woman who lost it all, brethren. She lost her husband, and she lost her two boys, and she was left, is what the Bible says. She was left. She was alone in a country that was not her own, a pagan country. She was left. But God never left her. God never left her. And he sent her somebody, though she was in a place she shouldn't be, he sent her somebody that was going to love her, and God was going to use this person to help restore her. And not only restore her, but restore her family name. Naomi thought this was over. She had even told Orpah. She told Ruth. Naomi said, listen, it's not going to happen. I'm done. My family name is not going to go on. The family name's not going to go on. My heritage, my land, it's all going to be gone. She gave up on it. But here's these people said, no, that's not what's going to happen. God's then kept you in mind. Can I tell you, God keeps you in mind too. Amen. God keeps you in mind. Now the devil will try to make you think God's then forgotten you and God doesn't care about you and you're done. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's a lie. And then they made this statement, because there's a connection here. See, Naomi, when she lost her husband and her son, she thought, you know what, as far as my lineage, as far as my ancestry, as far as the family name being carried on, and that meant a lot in this day. It means a lot even in our day, but listen, the Jewish people, I mean, it meant a lot to them. And they thought, that's it. She thought, that's it. And now here these young women are saying, oh, no. That's not it. God's done restored some things. They seen it. They seen what God was doing. Amen. God's done restored some things. And it said in verse number 15, this thy daughter-in-law which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. Amen. You had two and they're gone. She's better to you than seven sons. God's restored some things in your life. God's renewed some things in your life. See, God does that for us. And we need to be aware of this. It was mentioned here tonight. Change and what God has done and what God has brought into our lives when he saved us. And as we grow and as we mature in the faith and as we go in life, God continually adds to our life. Don't miss it. Don't miss that. Don't get your eyes on the material. That's what got her in the situation she was in. Elimelech took his eyes off of faith, and he got his eyes on sight, and when you walk by sight, you miss it. You miss it. Elimelech lived by sight and not by faith, and so when there was a famine, instead of trusting God and exercising his faith, saying, God's going to take care of me and my family. God has always taken care of me and my family. And I want to tell you, brethren, every one of us could say that. Every one of us could say that. God has always taken care of me and my family. I've been young and now I'm a little older, but I can tell you I've never seen God's seed forsaken or begging bread.
Amen.
God takes care of his children, brethren.
Amen.
God loves his children. He meets his children's needs. He takes care of us. He blesses us.
Amen.
And when we get in positions we shouldn't be in, he comes to us. And sometimes he'll whip us. And that doesn't mean he doesn't love us. It means that he does love us. It means that he does love us. And so when I look at this, God not only restored to Naomi some things, God elevated her position through this woman that she would have never met. Had God not brought her to Naomi when Naomi was in a place she shouldn't have been in? See, all that's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. See, that's God working all things together, you see, for the good. What's that have to do? Well, when you look at who she held that day, do you know who she was holding? See, here's the kicker. She wasn't just holding any old baby. She was holding little Obed. Say, who in the world's Obed? You know, the father of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Well, you know Jesse. He's the father of David, the greatest king that ever lived. The picture of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus himself. That David. That Obed, you see. See, God did all of that for a woman who was out of place. And she wasn't being what she ought to be. But yet God said, you know, I see what's going on here. And I want to get you back to a place where I can bless you. And maybe somebody here tonight, I don't know, that you need to allow God to get you back to a place to where he can bless you. Now, Naomi had to leave where she was in order to get this blessing. Naomi could not get this blessing in Moab, and you're not going to get the blessing in the world. Now, listen to me now. You're going to have to leave where you are and get back to Bethlehem where God is blessing his people. Is that what it says in chapter 1, verse 6? I believe it is. Look at it. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Going to have to make a move, you see, to get to the place so God can bless you again. See, I've been in a place where God could not bless me before, and I'm apt to get there again. You say, well, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Well, it's so. I don't want it to happen. It's not like I'm looking for a way to get to a place I shouldn't be. I don't think you're that way. I don't think that way of you. The Bible says that we ought to support one another and love one another and pray for one another. And we ought to think highly of one another. I believe you want to serve God with your life. I hope you know I do. But before we meet again here next Sunday night, there's somebody maybe sitting in here, maybe standing in here, that may be in a place he or she shouldn't be in. What are we going to do about it? Line up and kick them? What's that going to do for them, brother? What's that going to do for them? What's that going to do for the name of Jesus? Wasn't that Moses' concern when the children of Israel were misbehaving? He said, the countries around us are going to think, when they hear you belly aching and they see the way you're acting, they're going to think our God can't get it done. When folks hear that the folks down at the church are fighting and bickering and talking each other down and running each other down and just kicking people while they're down, you think folks want to come? You think folks want to stand up and testify? I sure am glad I found this church. I can't wait to get kicked. No. I'm not saying you lower your standard. I'm not saying you lower your expectation. Stay in the Word. Do what's right. But if you're going to stay in the Word in one area, stay in it in all areas. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the faith. That's what the Word says. Love people who are hurting. Amen. You don't have to excuse their sin, but you can sure love them and minister to them. So let me give you this principle. So here's a family. And I don't know that I might not be talking to someone tonight. I don't know. But God knows. And I know what God laid on my heart. And I came here last Sunday night fired up and ready to go. And while we were in that interview in there, God said, I want you to ask him to preach. And I said, but God, I got this message. And I mean, I'm fired up about preaching it. God said, yeah, but I want you to ask him to preach. That's what I'll do. So that's what I did. And so now I'm preaching the message tonight. But I'm just going to give you a little point of it, okay? I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. So here's a family. I hope you know the story. It's not very good times. It's in the days of the judges in verse number 1 of chapter 1. You see it? You know the story, right? It's in the days of the judges, there's a famine in the land, which tells me that God is being consistent. God is doing what he said he's going to do. God said, I am going to judge you when you sin against me and you go away from me. The children of Israel did that which was right, every man in his own eyes. And so here's God, almost 100% of the time when there's a famine in the land and the Bible, it's God's judgment. And so God is judging them. And so they're not in a good place as a whole. And so here's a family, and I believe they're a good family. Bad things can happen to good families. Good families can make poor decisions. So listen, we all learn, if nothing else, if we don't learn anything else, you don't judge a family on one decision that they make. When a family messes up or a family doesn't do right, you don't throw them on the bus and say, well, you know what, I knew they wasn't going to last. No, that's not the way you handle it. So here's a family that the scripture says, I tell you, these stink bugs and me is going to have a, it's not going to end well for them. They don't know, but I'm an exterminator. And I'm not joking. So the Bible says that what they did is Elimelech and his wife, they decide, we're going to head out. And the scripture says in verse number 2, that Elimelech and his wife, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they decide, we're going to go down to Moab. Now, like a lot of people, they said, you know what? If you look at that word in verse number 1, it says to sojourn. That is almost the word as camp out. I'm just using a replacement word, and I'm not doing any harm to the scriptures. I want you to understand what a sojourn is. We're just going to stay there for a little while, almost like a little camping trip. We don't plan on staying down there long. And you know, can I tell you, that's always the way it is. It's always the way it is. We're just going to do this for a little while. We're just going to kind of take a little sabbatical, or we're going to do this. We're just going to lay back a little bit. And that's always the way it starts. You know, we're just going to miss a service here, or you know, we're going to do this. And we have no intention of getting out of church, so don't get nervous. You know, and that's the way it starts out. But then the Bible says in the latter part of verse number 2, it says when they came to the country of Moab, they continued there. So there obviously was something there that was attracted to them. They were attracted to some things, and there's some things that were attractive to them. They said, you know what? This might be a good place for us for a while until things pick up. Now, you be careful when things begin to get that way for you. When you are outside of where you know God wants you to be, you be really careful about that mindset right there. It's not a good one. You know, and I know, where God wants us to be. Then the scripture says in verse number 3 that Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And I want you to watch this phrase. This phrase just really spoke to my heart this week. It just really broke my heart. And she was left. Now, we have some widows and we have some widowers in our congregation, and their hearts are aching. You say, well, it doesn't appear that they are. It doesn't matter what appear is. When you lose the love of your life, your heart aches. And I believe that's why God says you need to give some special attention to those people. Amen. And you love on them. And you be there for them. She was left. In that word is hurt and loneliness. Are you looking at it there? Verse number 3, where it says, after her husband died, she was left. And she had her two sons. And I want you to watch what the very next verse of Scripture says. It says in the very next verse of Scripture, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Well, I tell you, Dad, your presence in the home is very important, isn't it? You say, I believe they'd have took them wives if Dad would have remained alive. Well, I can't say they wouldn't have. I'm just saying that Dad's presence in the home is very important. It's amazing to me that they didn't take them wives until Dad died. Could have been just the way it fell. I don't know, but I have seen this more than once. When Dad won't be Dad, when Father won't be Father, children go astray. Dad, please. Listen, I can't make you do anything, but I would beg you tonight. You be the father of your children. If you never teach a Sunday school class at Fellowship Baptist Church, you teach your children the Word of God. If you never hold a high position of a church, this church, any church, you hold a high position in your home. You be there for your children. They need you. They need you. So, well, preacher, we know that. Well, thank God. Don't forget it. Your children need you. They need you to steer them and guide them. So, well, my children know a lot. Well, not really. Now, I'm not saying that being mean, but, you know, what did you know when you was a child? What do you know now? And so they're going to rely on you to teach them some things. And I realize sometimes they don't want to hear it. I get that. But be there for them. For those times that they do want to hear it. Be there for them. All right? So the scripture says that they took them wives of the women of Moab, the name of one, and you know Orpah and Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Boy, I tell you, it wasn't enough that they made a mistake to take a wife from the wrong place. Now they're going to stay there for 10 years. Well, that's a setback. Not looking good. And then the Bible says in verse number 5 that Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And now watch what the scripture says. And the woman was left. She's left again. Man. Well, Naomi's going through it. She's going through it. She's hurting. She's reeling. She needs some help. As a matter of fact, and she, you get on down through here and you'll find where she just feels like, you know, I'm sorry. She said, I think it's verse 13, she said, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Naomi said, I don't know. It's not good for me right now. And maybe you've been there in your life. I don't know. Somebody may be there right now. It's just not good for me right now. Things are not going well. And it may be so. And it may be, I'm not saying that it is. I don't know your life. I don't know what's in your heart. It may be you're out of place. I don't know. It may be you're not where you're supposed to be. And you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And there's been some things happen. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, because God's getting ready to do Naomi a very big service. Verse number 6, God wanted to make sure that Naomi realized, I still bless my people. Naomi, I know you feel like you're not being blessed, but you can be blessed. If you'll get yourself back into place where I can bless you, I'm still blessing my people. And he wanted to make sure that Naomi understood that. Do you see what's happening here? And so in verse number 6, the Bible says that Naomi heard while she was in Moab that God had visited his people and was blessing them. And I just find it very interesting that Naomi had gotten to the place to where bread moved her. She was more concerned about food than she was fellowship. She had gotten used to being without fellowship with God. I don't want to get there. I've been there. I do not want to get there again. I do not want to get there again. Have you ever been okay with just going through the motions? It can happen. Oh, it won't happen to me, preacher. Now listen. Listen to me. You can lie to yourself all you want to lie to yourself. You can try to make people think you're spiritual and this and that, but we know who you are. We know who we are. Say amen. We know about us. I said, we know about us. We know what we're made of. And we can wear halos and try to make people think that we're the most spiritual people in all the world and we never have any downtime and we can just really put on a big front. Who's that helping? Who's that helping? And Naomi had gotten to the place where she was okay with receiving the things of God instead of God. She had gotten more interested in the giver than the gift, the food than the fellowship. But God knew what it was going to take to get her back. And so he sent her word in verse number 6. She heard. And so during this process, and I'm going to bring this to a close, and we'll finish up in the book of Ruth next week. During this process, and I don't want you to miss this, during this process, Naomi heads back, lonely, broken. And her two daughter-in-law say, we're going to go with you. And so they start out, as I understand the scripture, they literally start back to Bethlehem. And in route there, they stop, and Naomi says, it might have been a rest stop. I'm just joking a little, don't I? And they stopped, and Naomi said, listen, y'all probably need to go on back. You know, you've been through enough. I know what you're going to go back into. Okay? And so it'd probably be good for y'all to go on back. We're not going to be able to carry out the family name. I don't have any more sons. I'm at the age I'm not going to have any more sons. Now, you can read this in chapter 1. And so you just need to go on back. And Orpah says, give me a kiss. I think I'm going to go on back. She kissed her. She went on back. But God done something for Naomi. Even when Naomi thought that she knew what was best for her life, God said, Naomi, you don't know what's best for your life. Can I tell you, there's times a lot in our lives, I can speak for myself, I can't speak for you, but I think if you'd be honest, there's just times in our life we think we know what's best, and we're telling people, you need to go on back when God knows better. And God moved on that woman, Ruth's heart, and I mean, she was determined. You read that sometimes. Naomi said, the Bible says when Naomi saw that she was determined, I mean, she was not going to go. You know why? Because God said, I'm bringing somebody in your life. I'm putting somebody in the pathway of your life. Brethren, I've said it over and over again. Me and Brother Greg was talking about this morning. You notice the people that God puts in the pathway of your life. Don't take that for granted. God uses the people that he plants in the pathway of your journey. And here was Ruth. And here was Naomi getting ready to go back. And she sent Orpah back, and she wanted to send Ruth back. She tried. And God put a resolve in Ruth, and Ruth said, no, I'm staying. I'm staying. And Ruth said, I'm staying because it's going to benefit me. I want your God to be my God. You know, remember, you know, verse 16 and 17 there. But what Naomi didn't realize is God said, I have something for you, Naomi. I'm going to put this young lady. Remember what we read in verse number chapter 4? Your daughter-in-law that loves you. Naomi needed somebody that loved her. She was broken and hurting and empty. When you get that way, you need somebody that really loves you. And Ruth really loved Naomi. And God said, I want you to stay. I'm going to use you to bring her to where she needs to be. See, God uses people that way. Who is God using in your life that way? Everybody has one. That's a blessing. But I'm going to tell you a greater blessing. It's when you're the one. When God used you to help that Naomi. A lot of setbacks. Next week we'll look at, as we bring this to a close, you can look this way just for a moment and we'll close our service tonight. The providence of God in the book of Ruth is just off the charts good stuff. So they get back, and it just so happened to be harvest season. And there's this guy that's available that can carry on the family name that's good for Ruth and Naomi. You know the story, how that Ruth goes out in the fields and just so happens she ends up in Boaz's field, right? And it just so happened on the day that she's there working in Boaz's field that he comes to visit his field. That's God, brethren. See, God is moving things around. He's doing it in your life. He's doing it in your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't tune God out. Don't tune God out in what God is doing. Don't tune that out, okay? We'll close here. And we'll pick up here next week. Because I want you to see how that God gets Naomi and Ruth to where he can bless them, to where not only will they be blessed, but they'll be a bless to many, many generations of people. See, we have settled with living our lives without leaving a legacy. Leave something for somebody. Your children, your grandchildren. Leave something. Invest in people. Let's stand to our feet. Listen, when you pass away, you're going to die here one day. And I'm going to get real somber here with you for just a moment. You're going to check out of here one day. I am too. It shouldn't be business as usual after 3 days when you check out of here. We should have so made an impact on people's lives as believers, as Christians. We should have so invested that our investment carries on. But that's something you have to do purposefully. It just doesn't happen. So could I encourage you, and many of you are already doing this, could I encourage you to find you some people and start investing in their life? Most people are so invested in their own life that they're not invested in others. Invest in somebody's life. Be that person on the pathway.